Dialogues, a show that features narratives from everyday people and their journey towards learning a language. I'm your host, Milo Falcone.
Hi, and welcome back to Catnav Dialogues. In today's show, I have Rosana from Dominican Republic. Join us in her language learning experience.
Rosana Contreras, I'm Dominican. Came a long time ago. I was 17. And, so I came here when I was 17. I didn't know a word in English. It was very, very hard. So when I came, I was almost finishing high school in my country. So I thought I was gonna continue going to school here, but I already had a job because I come from a very big family, 17 kids. So I'm one of the older, so I needed to work in order to bring the rest of them here. So it was very tough to work in the daytime and then go to school at nighttime. And went and took the GED. And went to English class and nighttime.
Wow, so. that's really intense.
Mm-hmm.
When people ask you, where do you consider yourself from, do you always say, I'm from the DR?
Of course, Dominican, definitely, 100%. It's just, I love this country though, but I don't think I would never go back to live there. I go there and I kind of lost that with people. I got connected here very well. So it was very hard. The language was one of the worst things to get adjusted to. But for a very long time, when I started learning English, I was like translating. It was so for years. I think like maybe about 10 years ago only, I started to realize that I'm not translating anymore. So it's amazing. Suddenly I'm like, wow.
Despite all the hoops that Rosana had to go through to learn English and get a degree, she was able to manage. So I wanted to know how long she had been in the United States and what she does for a living.
I came in 1982, so it's almost 39 years.
Wow, yeah, I wasn't even born.
I don't know either. I'm a clinical technician, medical assistant, so I've been for this nice company, the Cornell. I specialize in infertility, and I've been working for them for 26 years already. Yes, since the next day I came here, I came on March 11, 82, and the next day I started working. Since then, I haven't stopped.
Now, it may be obvious to some people, but I wanted to confirm that Rosana's first language was indeed Spanish, which is, of course, the main language in Dominican Republic. I wanted to know if she had an accent and if she spoke any other language. Her accent answer did surprise me though. It reminded me of my guest, MC.
Of course, 100%. I still have the accent, but I understand everything, and I think I'm very fluent now because I understand everything. Okay. So the accent is still there, but people tell me sometimes, and and sometimes they say, you're Dominican, right? You have that Dominican accent. I'm like, I don't know how. What's the difference?
You're right.
Spanish and English only. I wish I could learn another one.
Now, Rosana had mentioned that she went to school, but I wanted to know when exactly she started taking lessons.
Was a little school in Manhattan, close to where I used to live. The same neighborhood there. So
so you were like 17?
17 when I came. Like going to school at night, it was an adventure. Because my father, it was very dangerous. We used to live in the, by Soho there, that area was very bad then. Back then, it's not like how it is now. It was a lot of like drugs used outside and everything. So my father didn't want me to go outside at nighttime. So I used to go a little bit earlier to work, like 1 hour earlier, and come out earlier because I needed to go home and cook and do all the stuff. Because my mother, when I came, it was two brothers, my father, an uncle. It was one bedroom apartment. It was like, how many? Five men in there, and me only. So I needed to come home and do all the chores and all the stuff. And then my neighbor next door, she used to entertain my father every night. And I used to run to school for 2 hours and then come back home. And I got away with it like for the whole year till I got my GED.
Wow.
Then when I got the GED, I went to BNCC. And there is like how many semesters? About 2 years I went there.
So for, can you, not everybody is from New York, so can you tell the public what BMCC is? What the name is?
That's Borough Manhattan Community College.
You gotta know.
They have a name for that, the Dominican, the, what is that? The Burros College? No, I know. It was very good. I really appreciate that. They really helped me a lot there. Mm-hmm.
So, wow. A lot of our listeners are probably like, oh man, that's messed up that she had to go to school at night and sneak to school. So you had to like...
My neighbor used to entertain him playing domino the whole night there, every night, and I used to...
go to school. Mm. Wow, you guys, this is a strong person right there. You wanted to get your education.
No, like definitely I didn't want to really... I really love school, but
yeah,
sometimes you get stuck.
And you and nobody did the chores? You had to do it all?
I had to do it, and the Dominican guys, they don't really do much chores. They just eat.
our listeners are probably like, oh my god. How do you feel about that nowadays?
Good. I mean, it's been tough, but nothing is too much for me. I like overcome everything.
Yeah, because you went to school and you got your degree.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Rosana if she had any facts or info she wanted to share about the DR, or just in general share.
Well, I used to live like in a little village where we didn't have water, running water, or electricity till when I was 11. That's when they started bringing the electricity. But the water, when I came here, that's when they got the water running. But but thinking back, it's like it was like an adventure. It's like my mother has so many kids. We have no water, no running water, or no electricity. And to get all those kids, you know, to raise them like that, it was tough. But thinking back, it's good memories.
Yeah.
Well, usually, like, now that I went there, I went to a place where my friend has outside, like, how you say, the plantain trees and everything right there all around. It was amazing. She used to go to the Conuco and get all the plantain and green bananas and yuca and all those stuff and bring it home. I'm like, oh, my God, that's how fascinating, like, so fresh and so... Then she had chickens outside. You can get the eggs, and very nice. I really love it. I told you, like, I kind of got a little disconnected from there because all my family's here. I only have one uncle there, and people are very friendly. Good, you know, they see you, and it's like they know you forever, and that's amazing from there too. Like. People are very,
okay.
Calor humano.
Calor humano, okay. Hermandad.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Now, as Rosanna has mentioned before, she feels kind of disconnected from the Dominican Republic. Not at her own fault, though. She did mention that her family mostly lives in the United States. But I still wanted to share some fun facts about the Dominican Republic. So, here we go. The Dominican Spanish is a dialect of Spanish, or a Caribbean one, at least. It's based on the Andalusian and Canarian Spanish dialects of southern Spain, and it has so many influences from African languages, Taíno, and other Arawakan languages. One thing that is easy to notice from Dominican Spanish is the way certain consonants and vowels are changed. For instance, in the capital area of Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, the R changes into an L. A very easy example is the use of the question por qué, which is why, which would change into por qué. In the northern part, however, the R sounds like an I, which makes por qué sound like por qué. In the south of the region, this would make a name such as Miguel sound like Miguel. Also, they don't add the S on the end of the words. In fact, they cut off the last letters in a word. You can check more of these linguistic facts at colonizeddr.org. Here are some other facts. The Dominican Republic is the only country in the world to have the image of the Holy Bible in its flag. The Dominican Republic is a very sustainable nation because it produces nearly all kinds of foods served at breakfast, lunch, and dinner across the country. And here is a sad colonizing fact. It's the site of the oldest colonial settlement in the Americas, and home to Christopher Columbus' first New World landing point in 1492. Now, let's get to the bottom of language learning. I wanted to ask Rosanna if she had ever felt or was made to feel different because of the way she spoke English. And this is what she had to say.
I was very self-conscious when I started learning English, and I couldn't express myself. And I couldn't. I understood everything, but I was so afraid to talk, and I thought people were gonna laugh at me. So I remember going to the hospital with my mother. Before, there was not so many people that speak English like now. Like 83, 84 was, you know, you go to the hospital, they needed to find a translator for you. Now you go in everywhere. Like in my job, we have like half of the people, they speak Spanish. But then you needed to wait there forever to wait for the translator. And I used to say, like, think about, like, no, I really need to learn English. This is not fun to be waiting for somebody. And not to talk bad about people, but sometimes there were people that speak Spanish and they say they didn't. I don't know. It was something very strange before. Like people used to feel ashamed of, and now everybody's proud of when they. But back then it was kind of funny because I saw people that I knew that were Spanish and they were, but they didn't want to speak. And that maybe gave me the, you know, encouraged me to learn. Yeah, I used to think about. But then when I had my kids in 87, when I had my son, and with them, I think I practiced English. That's when I really got more fluent. Mm-hmm. Because with them, they were not gonna, even though they used to laugh sometimes, even now, I there's words that I can, it doesn't come out right, and they laugh, but I don't really care anymore. Well, my job is like I work with doctors. There's like 11 doctors, maybe two of them speak Spanish. So I really needed to go ahead and stop being scared. But even, when I started 26 years ago, I was still like so afraid of speaking and to, you know, but then I...
Then, of course, I wanted to ask Rosanna what her preferred language was when it came to expressing herself.
Oh, no, with my family and everywhere, with family around, I speak Spanish only. Yeah, a lot of them, most of them, my mother, she doesn't speak word in English. So, with my family, just Spanish. Mm-hmm. Then with the kids, both, sometimes when I want to, they understand, but they don't speak. And I used to be so ashamed when they were like teenagers, and because with my family, I felt like, oh my God, right? But I remember when my nephews and nieces, before I had my kids, and they didn't speak Spanish, I used to feel like, I used to tell my sister, like, well, what is going on? How are they not going to speak Spanish? And then I fell in the same cycle. Like, I don't know, it's something like, they lose it, they don't. And you go ahead and, it was an advantage for me because I practiced with them. And I used to talk to them in Spanish sometimes, and they talked to me back in English, and they got used to it. They understand everything, but they talk like babies. I'm like, it's a shame for me because I really want them to be fluent also. With Dorian, when he was little, my son, so he was almost three, and he couldn't put the whole sentence together. And I was so, and the same thing. I took him everywhere for speech and everything, and everything seems normal. And then they told me maybe he was confused with the two language. Because the babysitter she didn't speak English at all. And then, so.
Now, just like my first guest, Dago, Rosanna is also a healthcare worker. However, she was in the midst of all this pandemic, doing one-to-one work at a hospital. So I wanted to ask if the COVID pandemic had affected her work, and this is what she had to say.
Oh, definitely. I was lost with it. I'm like, oh my God. Between my accent and the mask now, nobody's going to understand what I'm saying. And it was so, I mean, everybody was like that, mumbling, and you couldn't, but for somebody with an accent was worse, because it's just like, but now I guess they're making better masks and more, and you have the way you practice already how to, so it's better now, but it was bad.
Thank you, Rosanna. Thanks for sharing your language learning experience. I find it very commendable of you to challenge your cultural norms and push forward to learn English and to get a degree. See? Nothing is really impossible, guys. You just have to really want it. And please check out Rosanna's son's artwork, a stencil artist from Brooklyn. I will post the link down below.
This episode was produced by me, Milo Falcone. A really special thanks to my guest. And music by TJ Young and Pika Sonic. Until next time.